for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, March 31st, 1988. Passover weekend. Teaching and deliverance services. This is the first service of the weekend camp meeting, and Tommy Cook is the main speaker of the evening.
Father, I thank you for the privilege I have to receive these gifts from these your people this evening. And Father, I stand as a priest in this place in behalf of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and I take these gifts and I bring them as an offering unto you, Jesus, our high priest, to be presented as an offering on the throne before you, Father. And I thank you for receiving it from these thy people. And Father, I thank you for them, and I bless them. And I thank you, Lord, for multiplying back unto them the needs, both physically, spiritually, and financially. Lord, as they participate in the support of this place and other places as well, besides just this place, Lord. For, Lord, we're not selfish, thinking that this is the only place where the word of the Lord, or where deliverance, or where your presence flows. For, Father, your word says that it will be as the waters cover the sea, so shall your spirit cover the earth. And Father, I thank you for that, and I praise you for it. And I thank you for your anointing that flows and moves amongst your people, wherever they gather together, to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus and to praise and to worship him. Now, Father, as I take these finances and become steward over them, I take authority over them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God. They shall be used for nothing but the furtherance of the gospel and the necessities of life, as long as this type of finances is used. And I thank you for the privilege of receiving them and blessing them, that they shall multiply again and again and again and again for the kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Jack Harris from Beckville, Texas is going to come and minister to us for a while this evening, and then Tommy Cook will conclude the service this evening. Brother Jack.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. I believe that's what the Apostle Peter said at the Mountain of Transfiguration. He gave us an opening statement, didn't he? He said, it's good to be here. Praise the Lord. bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Did our hearts burn within us? Hallelujah. As the word of the Lord unfolded. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall lag. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in the Lord. Now here the psalmist is saying that the heathen will rage and they will imagine a vain thing, imagine how they're going to cast the cords asunder. But he said, I've already set my king in my holy hill of Zion. It's too late now. It's too late to alter the course, for he already has set his king in his holy hill of Zion. And Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I tell you, with those two, just those two statements alone, makes it too late. It's too late. The heathen will rage, but the kingdom of God will be ushered in. Hallelujah. Amen. The kingdoms of this world will diminish, but the kingdoms of our God will increase. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall come no end. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you that God is moving in a tremendous way in the lives of His people in this hour. You know, there's there's a lot of turmoil in the religious order, in the political order. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he often approached His disciples and said, "Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. It's I." Hallelujah. The psalmist said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I think if there ever was a time that statement has credibility, it has the most now. Hallelujah. But along the Apostle Paul said, "None of these things move me. I am on a mission seeking out and searching for a better resurrection. And I let nothing move me. To the left or to the right." I'll tell you, the Lord is speaking again and again. Everything that is not planted by Him has to come down. You can just don't be alarmed by it. But in all things give thanks unto the Lord. Yeah, everything that's not planted by Him can't stand. Unless we're planted Him. "They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is good. He is upright, and in Him is no unrighteousness at all." And so, as the political systems fail throughout the world, and they are, everybody's afraid. It would be a very fearful time, except that we know the Lord. The Lord God reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with strength, whereof He girdeth Himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Yes. So while we see all of the turmoil, we do not despair. Hallelujah. For we know that in the finale, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Hallelujah. And there's nothing the heathen can do. Hallelujah. Amen. There is nothing anybody can do about it. It's just going to happen. I'll tell you. Oh, yes. Because even before He spoke this great planet into creation, He already had His king set in His holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. And He already had a lamb slain before He laid the foundation for this we call the world. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, our God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Yes, he does. Hallelujah. You believe that He knows what He's doing? Hallelujah. And while it may seem that a lot of things are out of control, they're out of control of man. But but I'll tell you, there is one mightier. Oh, yes. And He is in control. Oh, praise the Lord. And to Him we look. In Him we live and move and have our being. No, that's what the Scripture says. Now, it is equally true that in us He lives and moves and has His being. Hallelujah. When we see Him, we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. When we shall see Him as He is. You know, in the Old Testament, and the statement was, you can't see God and live. Huh? Well, that's true. You can't see God and live, but it's equally true that you can't see God and die. Hallelujah. For, oh yes, Jesus said, your fathers eat the manna that Moses got down in the wilderness from heaven. But he said, I am the living manna, the heavenly manna. And he said, your fathers eat that manna and they died. But if you will eat of this manna, you will never die. He said, if you will drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you will live forever. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said. Martha said, I do. I believe it. Paul spent his whole life believing it. Oh, that is from the time that he really got converted. Hallelujah. He gave his life a martyr, and that he might attain unto a better resurrection. Hallelujah. And so that's our hope. That's our beautiful and great hope tonight, is that we might attain to that better resurrection. Hallelujah. That will lift us out from among the dead while yet alive. Hallelujah. Ah, what a beautiful hope it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do not despair, but I am thankful to the Lord for His many wonderful blessings. I'm reminded of the old saint back under the persecution, the great persecution of the church, Jerome. He was 85 years old. And the great persecution was in process, and they were putting the saints to death on the town squares and spectators, before all spectators. And they had bypassed this old man because nobody wanted to harm him. Even his enemies didn't want to harm him. Well, the Bible said if you can make your ways to please the Lord, you'll make even your enemies at peace with you. And so it was finally brought to their attention that St. Jerome still lives, and he's most dedicated of all. And so the politicians had to do something. And so they entreated him to, on the way to the death place, they begged him to just deny the Lord, that you are a follower of the Lord, and we can turn you loose. We don't want to harm you, even those that were escorting him to his death. But he said, 85 years have I walked with him, and not one time has he ever failed me. And I won't for my life deny him now. I like to think that there are a lot of people in the earth today that feels the same way as this old martyr felt, that not for our lives would we deny him now. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, we've come a long ways. It's been kind of a long journey for some of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And while it seems like sometimes it's been a long journey, what I know in my heart is that it will never be over. Hallelujah. Eons upon eons, we will still be exploring His wonderful, bountiful grace and admitting freely that we have not yet discovered all of the mystery that enshrouds Him. Hallelujah. And we have not uncovered His grace in full. You know, there all the television preachers talk of the day when God's grace will be no more. You might as well talk about going to His funeral. Hallelujah. Because you cannot separate God from God's grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is His grace. By grace are you saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. Of course, there are rewards that you can attain to by works, but it's still by grace, because He has to give you the grace to do the works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can't get away from Him. I mean, he's got us. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Because if he didn't have us, somebody else would have us, and I'd be very disturbed about that.
Hallelujah.
Ah, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Amen. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together. I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm waiting for. Hallelujah. The unveiling of God's sons. Hallelujah. Many-membered body of sons, just like the firstborn. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Oh, I know it's a lofty position and and not easily attained unto. But it is our blessed hope. If you're here tonight and you've been saved and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are a candidate. You can be a candidate for this lofty calling. Hallelujah. I myself am a candidate. I have announced my candidacy all over the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now what shall I do now? Make my calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Amen. Oh, what a good God we have. What a great pleasure it is to be back at Lake Hamilton here for this this convention or coming together, whatever camp meeting I believe we've been calling it. It's a gathering together. Amen. Gather my people together unto me, the Lord said. Hallelujah. Those that have made a covenant by sacrifice, he says. Hallelujah. God is promising great things. Oh, the prophetic word is flowing. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord comes on me and I just began to speak the Rhema. For 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, yes. Longer than that, yes. Just the word of the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. And then I get all lost in this thing when I get caught up like that. And then when I read it, when it is, you know, we get it on tape and then transcribe it. And when I read it, I just weep. And I just, oh, and I didn't know. I didn't know it. I didn't know that I said that. And sometimes it all lines up with the Scripture, as you well know, if you follow the prophecies that the Lord gives me. But it ever just thrills my soul how that the Lord can just move in the moment's notice, and we just break into more and more. We're just, the Word of the Lord's just flowing. Sometimes I tell you how the Lord does me. Sometimes I have, I teach and preach and do a little bit of everything, I guess, all of it. And sometimes I have, I've really sought the Lord and worked hard, and I got a good, I got a good one here. three pointers. Most of mine are 5-10 points. I'm just raring. I want to do this, and the Lord just won't let me do this. I have to do that. Hallelujah, amen. And I think, I'll just give a little short prophecy here. one Sunday I just returned from somewhere out in the Carolinas, and. They had, while I was gone, so we'll have lunch at the church in the fellowship hall Sunday. So I didn't know that we was having lunch. They really surprised me. Hardly ever, but they really surprised me. I didn't even hear a rumor or nothing. And so at 1:30 that Sunday, I was trying to find a place to get this to quit, And finally at 1:30, I did. And I said, now really, we've got to go because, and we go get something to eat and we come back at 5:30. And somebody said, we're having lunch in the church. And I said, if I'd known that, I'd have took my time. Well, I mean, God's moving. Now he's speaking, and what can the prophets do? Just blow the trumpet.
Yes.
Sound the alarm. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Lord lives. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. That's good.
Well, we'll hear some more from Brother Jack in the morning. And Brother Cook's going to come and minister to us the rest of the evening, and he'll close the service as the Lord leads him. Brother Tommy Cook,
thank you, sir. Amen. Let's stand again, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, again, we thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the people that have traveled near and from far distance, Lord, to come to this camp meeting. And Lord, tonight, as we embrace the word of God, we embrace it reverently. And Lord, we fear thee, we reverence thee. Lord, open our hearts to receive the word, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I appreciated that word through Brother Jack, didn't you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 4 in the Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 4. And we want to look, although I'm not really preaching on the Scripture, but I feel to launch from the Scripture. We may just share a little bit. Jeremiah 4:22. Jeremiah 4:22. The Bible said, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Now let's all read it together. "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." And notice what he said. My people, God's people, is foolish. I mean, there are foolish virgins tonight in the earth. And God said, my people is foolish. Now you say, how are they foolish? God said they're foolish, number one, because they have not known me. I mean, to know the Lord, it takes a cross in your life. Paul said that I might know him
and the power of his resurrection, and being made conformable unto his what?
Death.
Yes, there is suffering. There is a cross. But God said, they're foolish because they have not known me. And he said, they are sottish children. Sottish children. That actually means thick-headed. Now, hallelujah. I mean, no, we've been thick-headed somewhere down the road. And it actually means silly or foolish. And he said, they are sottish children. Thirdly, he said, none understand. And none of us understand as we should understand. Isn't that true? If any man think he, knows anything, he knows nothing as he should know. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And God said, they're wise to do evil. Wise to do evil. They have no knowledge even to do good, he says, which means there's no overcoming because we overcome evil with good. I mean, the fruit of goodness has to come into us to overcome evil. Amen. The word sottish, as I said, means to be thick-headed or to be silly or foolish. You know, you ever heard the expression, he's a sot or she's a sot? That word sot means a person actually made stupid and foolish by drinking too much alcohol, a drunkard. But we can be a drunkard and we can be drunk on many things besides alcoholism. Isn't that true? Amen. Carnality is prevailing here, really, in the Scripture. Now, turn with me to the New Testament. I won't get into a lot of that. I could go into that verse and go in and teach a lot on it. But turn with me to Luke 21. I want to teach tonight on prayer. And I believe to know the Lord, you've got to be a praying man and a praying woman. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In Luke 21, we want to look at we'll start off with verse 34. Luke 21, 34. And Jesus is saying a lot of things here to us in this whole chapter 21. He's speaking of the end of the age, end time, the signs that would come before his return. And he says in verse 34, here's a warning, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts, and sometimes, most of the time, we don't know our hearts, do we? Your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That can be overeating. How many know we all need some discipline there? Temperance. And drunkenness. Not just on alcohol now, but drunken with the cares and the things of this life. Television, you can be drunk on TV. Or you can be drunk on anything. We won't go into that. And cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. The day of the Lord. Verse 35. For as a snare, a trap, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's everybody, isn't it? In the earth. Now look at verse 36. What Jesus said. Watch you therefore, church. Watch you therefore and what? Pray always. Pray always. And that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and they will come to pass. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, how many know tonight there is a company, there is a people that is watching and praying? And there are many who are not watching and praying. Let's be honest. Amen. And Jesus said, to be made worthy to escape these things, we must be those who watch, and we must be those who pray. Hallelujah. Now, we know that worthiness has nothing to do with our initial salvation. It has been given by the blood of Jesus. Amen? By grace through faith are you saved. Again, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we're not being worthy to be saved. He's worthy, isn't he?
Amen.
And by his blood, he made us worthy to be saved. But there is an overcoming realm, isn't there, brethren?
Yes.
There is the reward realm, as Jack spoke about there a while ago. And we have to come to this place where we're made worthy to escape. Now, when I say escape, I don't mean we're just flying out of here and getting out of, all the mess that we see. Come back to verse 28. Look at verse 28. And when these things, Jesus said, begin to come to pass, when they began to come to pass, that is mentioned here in chapter 21, then look up. That actually means to rear back. Hallelujah. And look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption, come on, draweth nigh. How many know that's the redemption of the body? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we have been redeemed. We're being redeemed. We shall be redeemed. Spirit, soul, and body. But look in verse 31. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass. I mean, no, you've got to be here, that is, if you're living, to see these things to come to pass. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Know ye that the kingdom of God is what? Nigh at hand. Now notice he said in verse 28, when you begin to see these things, your redemption is drawing nigh. And yet he says in verse 31, when you see these things come to pass, the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Hallelujah. Well, how many know the kingdom's where God is? The kingdom's in you, and yet he's bringing this kingdom out there, isn't he? Can you say amen? Amen. So there's a people being made worthy to escape these things. Now, let's see who they are. Look in Luke 20, 35. Luke 20, 35, I believe it is. Yes. But they which shall be accounted, come on, worthy to obtain that world, that age, that millennium, that kingdom, and the resurrection from the dead. Actually, the resurrection out from among the dead, also the Greek says there. Neither marry, nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they're equal to the angels. Hallelujah. How many know there's different ranks in the angelicals? And how many know there's going to be even some differences in this resurrection? There's different ranks, isn't there?
Amen.
Amen. Every man in his own order, his own rank. Amen. And are the sons of God, it should be, being the sons of the resurrection. Praise the Lord. I mean, there's going to be some people in that first resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We won't go into that tonight, but there's a people being made worthy. Now, turn with me to another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. The Apostle Paul said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, church, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Then we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and it's actually verse 5. Verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also what? And how many know we're in the kingdom through much? Come on. Tribulation. And he said, there's a people that shall be made counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Then we look at Revelation 3. Turn there. One more scripture in here. Revelation 3, verses 1 through 5. Real quickly. To the angel, the messenger of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I mean, that's the fullness there, that seven spirits of God. I mean, that was in Jesus, and it's coming into his people, isn't it? In this end time. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Now, they were claiming and saying they were living, but Jesus said, you're not living, you're dead. Verse 2, be what? Watchful. Now, we saw there in Luke, he said, those who watch and pray always shall be counted worthy. So he said, be watchful. That means to wake up. How many know that God wants us to wake up tonight?
Yeah.
All of us. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He said, you can stop that. He said, those things that are about to die, you can stop it if you wake up. If you be watchful. Hallelujah. Notice, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, he's talking to the church, not the sinners here. I will come on thee, church, as a thief. And you don't know when a thief's coming usually, and usually he comes in the dark many times. But he comes for the best things he has, doesn't he? He comes for the jewels. He comes for the best things that you have, brother. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come on thee. Now look back to Revelation. We're looking 3:10 there. Notice the hour. Revelation 3:10. He says something here. Hallelujah. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the corn hour of temptation. And yet he says here in Revelation 3, he said, I'll come on you, church, in an hour. That will come to pass, and you'll not know exactly when that will be, he says. Verse 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled or soiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are what? Worthy. How many know that's the overcomers right here? That's the overcomers. They are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment and so forth. Praise the Lord. So only he can make us worthy. But we have to watch and we have to pray. Can you say amen, brethren? Now go to Matthew 25. Second point is, you got to go buy your own oil. You got to buy your own oil. We know that Jesus saves us and fills us, and we know those two gifts are, by His grace, are given to us. But you and I have to spend time with God. We have to buy our oil. The Bible said, in fact, the Bible tells us we have to buy His gold, His nature. Isn't that right? Then He said, buy the truth and sell it not. And yet in Isaiah 55, He said, we're to buy the wine and the milk. And yet here in Matthew 25, we must buy and purchase the oil. Okay, chapter 25, verse 7. Then all those virgins, all 10 of them, arose and trimmed their lamps. There was a purging away in all their eyes here. Cutting away, we'd say. And there's quite a message if you'll check that word out. Verse 8. The foolish said to the wise. Notice, the foolish said to the wise. We said a while ago, those that were sottish were what? Foolish. Silly. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Or the margin says, are going out. They were leaking. They were losing oil. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Well, how many know that's going to take some time on your knees? Come on now. You can't buy it with money, can you? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came and so forth. So you and I have got to buy oil for ourselves. No longer can people just keep praying for you. You have to pray yourself. Amen? I have to pray myself. We have to press into God ourselves. Hallelujah. Nobody can do your praying for you. They can't do it for me. We have to press into God ourselves. Amen? Praise the Lord. Third point is, we've got to be hid in God. Look over in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 20, but it's connected with prayer. All these have to do with end time people with prayer. Isaiah 26, 20, come my people. I had another word today, and all of a sudden the Lord just began to drop these things in me today. Isaiah 26, 20, come my people, enter thou into thy chambers. How many know Jesus said, go into your closet? Amen. That's the word closet can mean a bed chamber. How many know that's where a wife and husband come together and have an intimacy? And that's where we must come with the Lord and have our intimacy with Him, wherever that may be. Come my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Notice it's thy chambers. And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. You know, Job said, at midnight, in a moment shall a people die. And yet Paul said, in a moment there's going to be a people changed. Isn't that right? In the twinkling of an eye. And yet he said here, as it were, for a little moment, we're to hide ourselves until the indignation, the trouble be overpassed. Hallelujah. Now, many men want to run in the natural hither and thither, but how many know our hiding place is in God tonight? It's in the Spirit. I'm not telling you God won't have you move certain places, and that's going to be the key in this end time that we're living in is to be in the place that God has for us and where He wants us. Amen? But it says here that shut your doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation, the tribulation, the trouble be overpassed, because the Lord's coming out of His place to punish the iniquity of the unbelievers and so forth. Now, praise the Lord. Turn back to Revelation 3 now. Revelation 3, here again, God tells us something. In Revelation 3, 10, we've got to keep the word of His patience. Hallelujah. How many know we all need patience? We know it comes through tribulation and trials, but we need endurance. Endurance is those that will not give up, those who will not throw in the towel. They just keep marching on. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's easy to give up. It's easy to throw up your hands and say, well, I don't understand what's going on. Well, praise the Lord. Just get a hold of Jesus and He'll show you. Amen? Yeah. Revelation 3:10. Because, church, thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon, notice again here, all the world that we saw in Luke 21 a while ago, to try or to test them that dwell upon the earth. So there is a people that's to keep the word of His patience. And because of that, He said, I'll keep you in that hour. I'll preserve you in that hour of temptation that's coming upon all the earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, looking with that scripture, look in 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter 2:9. Remember, he's talking about temptation. 2 Peter 2:9 says this. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, that's the elect of God, out of temptations, Jack.
Yeah.
Notice the word temptations is plural. And to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment and to be punished. So God knows how to deliver the godly. Let's see who the godly is. Turn to Psalms 4. Hallelujah. We're talking about prayer tonight. Glory to Jesus. Psalms 4. Look in verse 1. How many's been in distress lately? Anybody here? Amen. Well, it's not to destroy you. It's to enlarge you. Verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress, mercy, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly, hallelujah, for himself. Did you hear that? The Lord will hear when I call.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
In those days, that means in the natural child takes life out of the mother. But how many know that if we're not careful, there are those that will drain you and me. There are those that you can just carry people so long. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And there are those who will take life out of you, hold you back from going up to the mountain. And we better recognize it, cut the cord, amen, and the hindrance. Praise the Lord. And notice what he says here. But pray that your flight be not in the winter.
Amen.
And we know in the winter you're hindered and restricted by your travel. Back here they could travel probably about a mile or so on a Sabbath day. Hallelujah. And yet he said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. But let me say it this way. Pray that you don't have winter in you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So in winter you're restricted, and they could just go so far. Well, how many know there are those today that are restricted, come on now, by denominations?
Amen.
They're restricted on how much they can believe and how far they can go. And if you go beyond that, you're out. Well, thank God. Get out. Hallelujah. God tells you to get out. God said, come out of her, my people, didn't he? Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And yet Jesus said we must pray that our flight be not in the winter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Tribulation's coming. Trouble's coming. But in the midst of it, brethren, I want to tell you again, we can be hid if we are praying people. We can go up to the mountain. We can be preserved if we dare to believe God and watch and pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel 9. This is one of Brother Miller's favorite scriptures, I think. Hallelujah. The people that are intercessors, how many know they're going to be sealed by God? And they're going to be sealed from the trouble. Now, before we look here, keep your place. Hold your with one finger. Go to John 6. John 6. And look at verse 27. How many know our Lord's the pattern? John 6, 27. I believe it is. Yes. Jesus said, and there was the people come seeking Jesus, and of course he knew why they were seeking him. Because it saw the miracles, they had ate of the loaves and were filled. In verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him, that's the Son, hath God the Father sealed. Amen? God the Father sealed the Son. Now, with that in mind, look back here in the Scripture. Look back in verse 15 just a minute. Hallelujah. They recognized him as the prophet in verse 14, miracle worker. But verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived, how many know the sons that he's raising up, God's putting some discernment into them. But how many know we need a lot more than what we got? When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force. That's quite a teaching in that word force to go into it. I'm not going to touch on it tonight. To make him a king, he departed where? Into a mountain himself alone. Yes, he's the king. But he's not going to be a king on a lower level, is he? I mean, no man will make you a king. But when they do it, you better get up into the mountain. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What am I saying? Jesus was sealed by the Father, and yet he was an intercessor, wasn't he?
Amen.
Look back in chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 2, the multitudes followed Jesus. They see his miracles, and what did he do? He went up into the mountain. When people begin to follow you, go up. When they want to make you king, go up. Hallelujah. Many men have fallen because they've been exalted. But how many know a real praying man who's touching God is not going to exalt himself? He's going to be abased. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, look in Hebrews a minute. Hebrews 5. Oh, Lord, help us. Somebody says that sinning men quit praying, and praying men quit sinning. And somebody said we need to... Well, we've got to make two choices. It's either the upper room and the fire, or it's the supper room and the smoke. In Hebrews 5, look at verse 7. Who in the day... 5, 7 of Hebrews. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son. And we know God's raising up his sons in this hour. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hallelujah. And so as a son, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears while he's here on the earth. Now look in chapter 7. Chapter 7, just a minute, verse 25. Hallelujah. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen? That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Then in chapter 9, verse 24, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us." Can you say amen? You know, Jesus was in preparation 30 years. He ministered 3.5 years, but He's been in intercession almost 2,000 years. Hallelujah. Now we go back to Ezekiel 9. I said, those that are intercessors, God is sealing. Hallelujah. We need intercessors, brethren, in the church, don't we? You and me. Intercessors. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. "He cried also in mine ear with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men," that's the number of man. How many know destruction comes from man? Man has the capability to destroy today. Man has invented the bombs and the nuclear arsenals and power. "Behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. But look at this, and one man among them was clothed with linen." How many know that's the clothing of the overcomer? "With a rider's ink horn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar." God's going to judge something here. Brass represents judgment. "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city," through the midst of Jerusalem, today the church, "through the midst of the church, Jerusalem, and set a seal upon the foreheads of the men," here it is now, "that sigh and that cry," that's intercessors, "for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." Hallelujah. How many know there's a lot of abominations in the church today? There's a lot of abominations in you and me we've got to get rid of. And God is setting a mark upon those in Jerusalem, hallelujah, that are sighing and crying against those abominations. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
And then in verse 6, God said, "Begin at my sanctuary." And judgment has begun, at the house of God. We are there in 1988. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
We are there in 1988. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalms 106 here with these scriptures we're giving you. Psalms 106. Look in verse 23, brethren. 106, verse 23. "Therefore he said," speaking of the Lord, "that he would destroy them," God's people, "had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach," in the gap, "to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." Moses stood, we would say, between the living and the dead. And he stood there as an intercessor to intercede and pray, lest God would destroy his people. With that in mind, go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18. Chapter 9 and verse 18, brethren. The Word of God says, Moses speaking, "I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water." How many know that's got to be God? In 40 days and 40 nights. "Because of all your sins." That was the motivation. Not for Moses to be made known or to be exalted, but for your sins, which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. How many know that our sins provoke God? God doesn't hate us, but He hates that sin. Our sins. Verse 19, "For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth," or angry against you, to destroy you. "But the Lord hearkened," or listened, "to me at that time also." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God can hear us?
Amen.
And will hearken to our cry. Verse 20, look at this now. "And the Lord was very angry with Aaron," that was his brother, Moses' brother, the high priest, "to have destroyed him." Listen to what he said, "and I prayed for Aaron also the same time." Hallelujah. Oh, we need some intercessors, don't we? Now let's go to Ezekiel 22. I know we know this scripture probably, but do we really know it? Do we practice it? Ezekiel 22. Glory to God. Verse 26. 22:26. God's talking about her priest. He said they put a difference between the holy and the profane, the unclean and the clean. He talks about the princes, the prophets. But look at verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. How many know we're robbing God when we don't pray? He wants your talent, your treasure, but He wants your time too, doesn't He? And notice the people of the land have used oppression. How many know witchcraft still in the land too? Amen. To oppress and vex God's people. They have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Verse 30. And I sought for a man. And thank God He's raising a man up in this hour, isn't He? Corporate man. Among them that should make up the hedge. How many know it takes a while to make a hedge in the natural? And there's a little hole there or something, an animal can just shoot right in, shoot right out. But God said that I should make up the hedge. How many know God wants a wall of fire about His church today? Zechariah says, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. How many know there's a lot of things that come that shouldn't have to come if God's people would be praying? I don't believe it was ever the will of God for missiles to be put in Cuba and communism to come in that little area. I don't believe it was ever the will of God, but I believe it happened because we weren't praying as we should have. All of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at Ezekiel 13, one other scripture here. Verse 4 and 5. Ezekiel 13, verse 4 and 5. Listen to what God says here. Verse 4, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. How many know the deserts, the waste places, the dry places? You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel. Today it would be the church to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. It's going to take some intercession for the church to stand. Isn't that right? In the battle in the day of the Lord. A battle's coming between dark and light, darkness and light. And I'm telling you, we know who wins, but it's going to take everything we have in the Spirit, praying and seeking God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And yet God said here that they had not gone up into the gaps and made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in that battle. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go a little further. Let's go to another scripture. Go to Joel chapter 2. Here's the ministries. Here's the ministers here. They got to play their part. I got to play my part. Of course, we're all ministers, but not everybody's in the fivefold ministry. But regardless of where we are, we need to pray. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 17. Joel 2:17. Thank you, Lord. Let the priest... I mean, our priest is one that ministers to the Lord. The ministers of the Lord. Weep. Weep. Between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Hallelujah. And give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? So the ministries must pray and weep and say, God, spare your people. Amen? Now turn to Malachi with that in mind. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 17. God's talking about those that fear Him with reverential fear. They shall be mine, God says. Those that fear Him. Those that think upon His name. God said, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will do what? Spare them. And yet God said, as the ministers and the priests We're to pray to God for God to spare His people. And God said here, I'm going to spare these. You know, I believe these are the elect here. I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Hallelujah. How many know God's catching the people up to the throne? Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Hallelujah. I know there's a lot of things we need to know. And brethren, when there's a people go to the throne, when they come back, I look at it in the spirit more than natural. But how many know they're going to have some discernment within them? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God says, pray, ministers, that God spares people. Sanctification. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're looking at a prayer of Paul the Apostle concerning the church at the end of the age. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. And all these are concerning prayers. We said earlier, this is the next point, sanctification. Hallelujah. How many know God's going to sanctify people? You say, how are we sanctified? We're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. We're sanctified by the Word. We're sanctified by the name of Jesus. We're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We're sanctified by faith. We're sanctified by the death on Calvary. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we're sanctified by our works expressing our faith.
Great.
I mean, he said to you and me, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, come on, of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we're responsible. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Now, verse 23 of chapter 5 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And the very God of peace, how many know God's a spirit? Sanctify you wholly. And notice, Paul said, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved or kept blameless unto the coming, the parousia, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will sanctify people and get them ready for His coming. Can you say amen? Through the prayer of this servant right here. Hallelujah. That was his cry. Amen? Now turn to Exodus 19. Let's look at a few scriptures on sanctification here. Exodus chapter 19. How many believe Jesus is coming? Within us and yet out there. And Exodus 19, verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today, hallelujah, and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, God wants you to have some clean clothes on.
Amen.
Especially the inward garments. Amen?
Glory.
Now notice, oh, hallelujah. Verse 11, and be ready. It says his wife has made herself, come on, ready. And be ready against the third day. How many know we're coming up to the third day from Jesus?
Yeah.
Taking a day as a thousand years and thousand years as a day. For the third day the Lord will come down. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. Hallelujah. Before this event, there was going to be a sanctification and a washing. Hallelujah. How many know He's washing us with fuller soap tonight too? If we're yielding to Him. And also with a refiner's fire. Verse 15. He said to the people, come on, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day when? In the morning of the third day, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. How many believe God has seven trumpets blown in Revelation and through other scriptures? And how many know that when One trumpet's been blowing, another starts, and so forth. And then finally you got seven going. How many know it's going to make a loud noise? Hallelujah. Amen? How many know when that seventh trumpet begins to blow, there's a people going to be changed? Amen. I won't go into that tonight, but he says here that this trumpet was exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp tremble. I mean, when you start hearing the trumpets, it causes you to tremble. It causes you to fear God. Can you say amen? Amen? And yet it causes you to rejoice. Hallelujah. And what God's saying. Verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. He's a consuming fire. And then in verse 19, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the mount, top of the mount, and Moses went up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said Moses went up.
Amen.
And God's coming down. Hallelujah. And there's a people going up. Come on.
Amen.
To meet him. Hallelujah. And we know the man-child is going to go up first. Amen?
Amen?
Those that attain to that place in God. Hallelujah. So Moses had to sanctify the people, get them ready for the third day. Hallelujah. We've got to be sanctified for the third day. He's coming. Praise the Lord. Turn to Ruth chapter 3. One other scripture here. I have a bunch more, but I'll just give you one more here on that. Ruth. Praise the Lord. Brother Miller told me I didn't have to be in a hurry as long as we got out of here by... He said I got an hour and a half. Praise the Lord. Are you there yet? No, I'm not. Hang on. Ruth. Hallelujah. Ruth chapter 3. Oh, what a message in this chapter. But look at verse 3. Naomi, I know you can look at these scriptures different ways, but Naomi is a type of the Spirit here. And in verse 3, she's telling Ruth. Naomi means my pleasant one. Ruth means truth and beauty. And Naomi is telling Ruth something. Telling her where Boaz is. How many know he's the type of Jesus? And verse 3, notice what she says. Wash thyself therefore. That's you, that's me. We must wash ourselves therefore.
Hallelujah.
We must cleanse ourselves again. 2, anoint thee. Jesus said, anoint your eye with eye salve that you may see. And 3, put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. Go down. How do you know he wants us to go down? Because if we go down, he'll raise us up. Can you say amen? Let, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Amen? And if we die, if we go down, we'll bring forth much fruit. And he said, you are my disciples if you bear much fruit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Now notice in chapter 3, verse 4, it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark and know the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. How many know there's a feet coming forth? Praise the Lord. And notice, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. He's going to tell you and me what to do. Hallelujah. And she said to her, Ruth said to Naomi, all that thou sayest to me, I will do. Complete obedience. Well, praise the Lord. So he said, wash yourself, anoint yourself, get thee down, and put on thy raiment. Now turn to another scripture. I'll give you another one. Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Is that on? Okay. Genesis 35. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. In Genesis 35, you'll notice what Jacob says here. Jacob's going to Bethel, the house of God. And in verse 2, Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away thy strange gods. That's what he's telling us too, isn't it? Strange gods. Number 2, that are among you. And number 2, be clean. And 3, change your garments. Take off the filthy garments, put on the holy garments. Hallelujah. And let us rise and go up to the house of God, to Bethel, and I will make thee there an altar. That's a place of worship. Verse 4. They gave to Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. Hallelujah. And Jacob hid them under the oak which is by Shechem. I'll leave that scripture for these other brethren to preach on. Verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. The fear of God came upon those round about, and they were afraid of Jacob and his people. And verse 7, he built there an altar and called it El Bethel, the God of the house. Hallelujah. How many know he's the God of the house? The Bible tells us not to seek the house of God, but to seek the God of the house over in another scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go to another scripture. Turn with me to Romans 8. How many know there's a groan at the throne? Romans 8. We're talking about praying tonight. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and not only they, not only creation, but ourselves also. Now, how many know this is the Sons of God chapter right here? This is about the elect. One woman said one time, many visit Romans 8, but I live there. Hallelujah. And so it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. How many glad tonight you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of this body. It's going to take some groaning, isn't it? You can read that in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5, but turn to Psalms 102. Psalms 102. Praise the Lord. If you get tired while I'm preaching, stand up and stretch yourself. Don't matter to me. Psalms 102, verse 13. God said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. There is a Zion people God's bringing forth. Isn't that right? The sons of God. Will a time to favor her? Yea, the set time has come. God said there's a set time to favor the Zion people. Verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear where? I mean, oh, you're his glory, and yet he's our glory. Then in verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall do something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're talking about the coming of the Lord, and yet we're talking about a generation of people that will praise God. For he has looked down from his height of his sanctuary from heaven, and the Lord beheld the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner. How many know that's God's people? To hear what? The groaning. How many know there are areas in us that we're prisoners? We need to be set free. Come on now. I'm not talking about somebody behind iron bars. To hear, although there's some there, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to loose those that are pointed to death. How many know there's going to be a people, and I know it's in God's time, it's not going to die. There's going to be a people that's not going to die. There's going to be a people walk into life, and who will not die. Anybody want to be a candidate, as Jack said tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. How many know if you've got a doctor's appointment, you're supposed to keep it. If you're not, you call them and tell them I can't be there. And right, there's appointment unto death. The Bible said that it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But yet right here, there's a groaning going on. Hallelujah. And he's going to hear the groaning of the prisoner to loose those that are appointed to death and to declare the name of the nature of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. So there's a people that will live and not die. Hallelujah. I hope to be one of them. I pray that I'll be one of them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn to Daniel 11 now. How many know you got to be strong? Now, there's a lot in this chapter here that I can't go into tonight, but sure a lot in chapter 11. I got my Bible marked up pretty good here in chapter 11. But in chapter 11, look at verse 32. How many know you're dealing with an apostasy in chapter 11, verse 30? That Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians. In verse 32, he's talking about those who are corrupted by flattery. And verse 32 said, but the people that do know their God. How many want to know Him?
He said earlier, my people are sottish because they don't know me. And right here he said, those that do know their God shall be, come on, strong and do. The word explosive has been put in. They shall be strong and do. Who? Those that know their God. Now, if you want to know where we are in the church today and why we're seeing people falling, just look at verse 33 right on down. You'll see why. We're right there in 1988, aren't we, brother? How many know this last year we began to see the fall of those religious leaders, and we need to pray for them. We saw the economy dealt a blow in 87, didn't we? And we saw the political dealt a blow and so forth. And right here, we're seeing this. In verse 33, he said, they that understand, that's the wise, that's the teachers, that's those of understanding, among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall what? Fall by the sword. Now, that couldn't be death here because they're going to be, God's going to raise them back up. How many know the sword's the word? How many know little judges? And they shall fall by the sword and by flame, that's the Holy Ghost, by captivity, and by spoil many days. And when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Well, you don't need flattery when you're down. 35. Some of them are what? Understanding shall fall, number one, to try them, test them. Number two, to purge them, we would say. And three, to make them white, even to the time of what? Of the end. How many know we've come to the end? Now, praise the Lord. Look at chapter 12. In verse 33, we saw the word many. Those that understand shall instruct what? Many. In chapter 12, verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust there shall awake. Look at verse 3. They that be what? Wise, that's the teachers, that's those that understand, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to the kingdom, to Jesus, as the stars forever and forever. And then in verse 4, but thou, Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. Then we come over to verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you one other point. Revelation 12. There is a people in travail. To those that don't know this, how many know there were seven women in the Bible that was barren, including the church? But thank God, at the end of the age, the church is bringing forth Isaac, not Ishmael. We've seen Ishmael too long, haven't we, brethren? Revelation 12, verse 2, she, the church, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and in pain, to be what? Delivered. Hallelujah. In pain. She's with child, she's travailing, she's in pain. How many know that hope, listen, I'm going to close here now. How many know that hope leads you to travail? And when there is a travail, we know there's a person, a woman, that's pregnant. And we know she's pregnant with a seed. And how many know the seed's the Word of God? And how many know that seed is the Word of God? It brings forth something. It brings forth faith. And faith will bring forth a vision. Without the vision, the people's going to what? Perish or actually be made naked. And yet a vision will bring you back to hope and hope back to travail. And I believe there's a people tonight, brethren, with all my heart, that's in travail. Amen? So we've come to the end of the age. Let us do our part. Let us don't be sottish. Let us don't be silly. Let us don't be foolish. Let us don't be a foolish person or a foolish virgin. Let us pray. Let us know Jesus. There's a lot of word going forth in this hour, but I want to tell you, there's a lot of people not being changed. We have to grow and be changed in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Anybody want to be changed tonight? Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. My son, I've seen thy travail, and I've seen your heart, saith the Lord. And I, the Lord thy God, yea, do touch thee this night. I, the Lord thy God, do minister life unto thee. For thou art my anointed one, thou art my son, saith the Lord. And truly thy feet shall go many places in this hour, for the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And I have spoken many things in the past, and many things even in the present. But my son, I shall yet speak many things to your heart in the days ahead. And thou shalt behold the glory of the Lord, and thou shalt behold His presence, and thou shalt know His presence. For surely, my son, thou art mine. And I've seen the obedience and the heartaches, and I've seen the stirring, and I've seen the trouble. But I, the Lord thy God, have not forgotten thee. And I have not forgotten your cry. Your prayers have come up before me, saith the Lord. Yea, thou art mine, my son. Walk thou faithfully. Yea, be thou obedient, even unto the death of thy flesh. I, the Lord thy God, do raise thee up. I, the Lord thy God, do give thee insight. For I am thy God. I am a jealous God. I watch over you to perform that which I've spoken unto thee. For you are mine, my son. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise our God. Brother R.D., praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord has called thee to intercede, my son. The Lord is calling you to a quiet place. The Lord is calling you aside for a period of time at this time, that you may seek my face with all of thy heart and know me, my son. For surely thou hast been busy, and thou hast been doing things. And I, the Lord, now do call thee aside. I call you unto myself in this hour, saith the Lord. So be thou obedient. Hear thou the voice and the word of the Lord this night. For thou art mine, my son. Thou art one of my jewels that I make up for that day. But spend that time, that quiet time, in my presence in the closet. For surely as thou dost obey the word of the Lord, thou shalt see a change within and without, saith the Lord. And thy heart shall rejoice and know that many truths shall come to thy heart, and thou shalt know that the Lord has heard and that the Lord has answered. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Brother Bagley, praise the Lord. Oh, look not behind thee, the Lord says, any longer. Yea, for thou shalt hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the word, walk you in it. But look unto me, the Lord says, this night, for I am the author and the finisher of thy faith. Yea, I've started thee out, and thou shalt finish the course. For surely I've seen thine heart, I've seen thy walk life before me, and it's been pleasing, saith the Lord. I've given you eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And truly I've seen the heartaches, I've seen the heartaches within thee, but I, the Lord, do heal the heart. I've seen, saith the Lord, even those close around about thee that would venture off and would turn back. But I, the Lord thy God, would say, I am in thee, and that I would give thee a warning, even as there was the warning given in the Scripture, that Demas loved the world. But I see thy heart, my son, that thou will not turn back. I see thy heart, for thy heart is after me. For surely, my son, love me. Love me with all thy being, and thou shalt be changed, and thou shalt grow up as a calf in the stall, and thou shalt ascend into the mountain of the Lord, and thou shalt take thy possessions, for the Lord has spoken it, saith God. Come on, praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I want my wife to come. I hardly ever minister to my wife, but I got to tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't like to do it, but I got to do it. Praise the Lord. Reach your hands out to her. Will you do it? Well, the Lord just say, put thou on the helmet of salvation, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil and the darts of the wicked one. And know that I shall shod thy feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And know that thy feet shall go many places in this hour. For I've ordered it. I've set it into motion, saith the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.